It is our privilege tonight to meditate upon the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. When we think of Christmas, I'm sure there are quite a few of you here tonight who could speak about certain traditions which you really enjoy about this time of year. Maybe Christmas dinner is one of those things which stands out to you, or maybe Christmas goodies is what really stands out to you. Maybe you even have some favorite goodies when you think about this time of year. Maybe it's peanut butter bonbons or sugar cookies, or maybe it is homemade fudge or peanut butter kiss cookies. And we love to get our fill of Christmas dinner and of Christmas goodies. But tonight as we meditate upon the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord wants to fill you and me to the full, not with Christmas dinner and not with Christmas goodies, but he wants to lead you and me to Bethlehem. And what is Bethlehem? What does the word Bethlehem even mean? Well, it literally means the house of bread, the house of bread. And so the Lord tonight, he wants to fill you to the full, and he does so by leading you unto Bethlehem, the house of bread wherein the bread of life was born. And so let us spend a few minutes together meditating upon this great truth which God sets before you and me tonight, that God leads you to Bethlehem. How does he do so? Well, first of all, he does so by his word, by his word. He does so by his word through his commissioned messenger. We call this commissioned messenger an angel. First, the angel Gabriel broke the silence, or I should say God broke the 400 years of silence by sending his messenger, the angel Gabriel, to speak to Zechariah and then to speak to Mary. And then an angel of the Lord speaks unto the shepherds outside of the region of Bethlehem itself. And what is the message of this messenger here, particularly outside of Bethlehem? Well, it is a message, and don't miss this, it is a message of great joy. Great joy, literally mega joy, if you read Greek. It is a message of mega joy. So great, so big, so grand, so momentous that it is big enough to cast out terror and exceedingly great fear. For what happened when the shepherds were confronted by this angel? Well, they were terrified. They were afraid in their heart of hearts to be confronted with one sent to them from heaven, an angel reflecting the glory of God. But the message which the angel has, the message is one of such mega joy that it overcomes fear. But what is the message? Well, the message is that a Savior is born. Not there is one born who will become the Savior, but the Savior is born. The one who is the only Savior, the rescuer from danger, the rescuer from the consequences of disobedience against our Creator. The message of the messenger is that a Savior is born and that he is the Christ. He is the Messiah. He is the anointed one. He is anointed and appointed to fully proclaim God's truth. He is anointed and appointed to offer up a final sacrifice for sin. He is anointed and appointed to rule and reign as the Prince of Peace forever and ever and ever. And this message proclaiming mega joy, is a message which tells us that all of the promises of God are fulfilled for you in the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so this word is meant to lead you to Bethlehem. It is calculated to arrest your attention. It is a word for shepherds. It is a word for all the people. It is a word for the poor. It is the word for the rich. It is a word for the old. It is a word for the young. It is a word for the ordinary, and it is a word for royalty. It is a word for Gentiles. It is a word for Jews. And so tonight, God would lead you to Bethlehem, the house of bread, by His word. By His word. Secondly, God leads you to Bethlehem with heaven's chorus. With heaven's chorus. There is not just one angel, one messenger, which we are confronted with here in Luke chapter 2, but we are confronted with a great multitude of messengers. We read in Luke 2 and verse 13, "And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host," literally, a multitude of the heavenly army, the soldiers of heaven. An entire army fills the sky. And you talk about shock and awe. You talk about a sight and sound experience. You can imagine the shepherds. Do you see what I see? Do you hear what I hear? And here, thousands appear unexpectedly and their voices thunder in the night sky. But what do they say? What does this heavenly army proclaim? What does this heavenly chorus sing? Well, first of all, they sing glory to God. That is, that God is worthy of all honor, praise, and worship from all of His creatures, and especially from those upon earth who are the recipients of such mega joyful news. Glory to God in the highest. Here is the reason for joy. God has done something. God has kept His promise. God has sent His Son. There's not much on earth for heaven to rejoice over. But lo and behold, here, heaven gets excited. Excited without measurement. Here is heaven rejoicing at God the Son become true man and born of the Virgin Mary. But there's a second thing which they sing. Peace on earth. Peace on earth. There is an irony in this. Don't miss it. Here is the army of heaven proclaiming peace. The army of heaven proclaiming peace. Peace which is only possible through the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. Many people try to pursue peace, to accomplish peace in this world, but only in Jesus Christ is true peace found. Peace with God, peace within, and peace with our fellow man. Glory to God in the highest, peace on earth, goodwill to men. That is, peace be to men on whom His goodwill and favor rests. God is a God of grace, and He gives. He gives that which is undeserved. He gives His Son. And here is His goodwill towards sinners who deserve the exact opposite. And so here, God leads you to Bethlehem by His word with heaven's chorus. And if heaven is so interested in this event, so ecstatic, what about you? What about you? Surely the chorus here is meant for you to join it. For you to join your voice from your heart. Glory to God in the highest. Peace on earth. Goodwill to Amen. Yes, this chorus is calculated to lead you to Bethlehem, to behold God's glory in the face of Jesus Christ, to behold God's peace secured by Jesus Christ, and to enjoy God's goodwill and favor in Jesus Christ. And so tonight, as we take a few minutes to meditate upon the birth of the Savior of the world, we see that God leads you to Bethlehem by His Word with heaven's chorus so that you might come and see. So that you might come and see, thirdly. That's the whole point, isn't it? That is the whole point. That you would come and see the one who is here proclaimed, the one born for you in the city of David. But as quickly as the army of heaven appeared, so quickly does the army of heaven disappear. And now we're left at a very critical point. We're left at a place where we must make a decision. The army of heaven has left. The word has been heard. The song has been sung. The good news has been proclaimed. Now the question is, what will you do? Will you come and see? Will you come to Bethlehem and see the one who is born for you? Now at this point, many people make excuses. Perhaps they put up with hearing that God leads me to Bethlehem through His Word with a heavenly chorus. But now you're going to ask me to do something? I think you're going too long, Pastor. I think I'm too busy. After all, who's going to watch the shepherds? Who's going to watch the shepherds? Who's going to watch the sheep while I'm gone? And we can add 100 other excuses to this sort of thinking. Who's going to watch the children? What about the party which is planned? What about the midday meal that I have to prepare for? What about the laundry that needs to be done? The bills that need to be paid? The shopping which needs to be completed? The company which needs to be prepared for? What about the pain in my life? The hurt in my life? The wounds which I feel each and every night? What about the darkness? What about the tinsel? What about the movie that's on tonight? Excuses, excuses. But here we come to that critical place. Will you come and see? It's sad, but there are many people who would never miss Christmas dinner who are willing to miss out on the bread of life born in Bethlehem. It's sad, but it's true. But you must come and see. You must. How did the shepherds respond? It's in verse 15 of Luke chapter 2. So it was when the angels had gone away from them into heaven that the shepherds were saying to one another. They were talking to one another. And what were they saying? What were they saying? Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us. And what was their conclusion? Their conclusion was, how can we not go? We have been privileged to hear the word of God and to hear the heavenly chorus. And the Lord is leading us to Bethlehem, to the house of bread, to be filled and satisfied forever. How can we not go? And so you must come and see. For the Lord has given you a sign. That's what this passage says. That's what the angel says. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger. What's the sign? What's the sign that you and I need to come and see tonight? It's not that Jesus was wrapped in swaddling cloths. every baby born in the first century was wrapped in swaddling cloths. So what's the sign? The sign is you will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths, nothing unusual there, lying in a feed trough. That's the sign. Nobody puts newborn babies in feed troughs. Now, we as it were, romanticize the language in the manger. It sounds so good, right? It's a dirty, filthy place where slop of food was put for the animals. This is the sign. This is the sign by which the Lord, the Christ, the Savior will be identified. You will know it is Him because nobody else would put a baby in a feed trough. You will know it is Him and you will be assured that the word of the Lord is true. Now, the shepherds go and they find the babe just as they were told. But what's the sign all about? It's not just a sign in which the baby is identified as the Savior, who is Christ the Lord. It is that. But there's something more, isn't there? Isn't there, as God leads you to Bethlehem tonight, to come and see the sign? The sign of the Lord of glory put into a feed trough. This is a sign to open your eyes. To open your eyes to what? To open your eyes to our blindness. What do I mean? Why was the Lord of glory placed in a feed trough? Well, verse 7 of Luke 2 tells us, because there was no room for them in the inn. Now, we shuffle our feet a bit, and perhaps if we're given the floor to speak, you say something like this: well, if I had been there, I would open my door and my home to him, to Mary and to Joseph. After all, a woman 9 months pregnant and going into labor, surely I would have opened my door and given them a warm place. But let's be honest. You know it's not true. The human heart is constantly busy about the wrong things. The human heart, which is untouched by the grace of God, is constantly pursuing the wrong things and constantly shutting out the Lord of glory and pushing him away. And so it's a sign to open your eyes to our extreme blindness. All we like sheep have gone astray, blind, self-absorbed, unattracted to the Lord of glory. You say, well, that's harsh, Pastor. It's supposed to be a message of joy. Ah, but here's the message of joy, because it's not just a sign of our extreme blindness. It is a sign to reveal something. To reveal what? To reveal God's extraordinary kindness. That the Lord of glory would stoop down from heaven's heights to a feed trough in order to save sheep who love to wander. It is a sign to reveal God's extraordinary kindness, grace, and mercy. That when we had gone our own way, He stooped all the way down, not just to a cradle, but to a feed trough, not just to a feed trough, but to scorn, not just to scorn, but to ridicule, not just to ridicule, but to insult, not just to insult, but to spitting, not just to spitting, but to cursing, not just to cursing, but to cold hard steel nails driven through his hands and feet as he died for the sins of his people. All the way down to the doom of death. You see, it's a sign. And this is what is mega joy. Not only a sign to identify him, not only a sign to expose our extreme blindness, but a sign to reveal God's extraordinary kindness, that the Lord of glory would stoop down not to be wrapped in silken sheets or to live in a gilded palace or to have dozens of attendants, but the Lord has stooped so low, but sinners raising. Why lies he in such mean estate where ox and ass are feeding? Nails, spears shall pierce him through. The cross be borne for me, for you. And so, God leads you to Bethlehem tonight by his word with a heavenly chorus that you might come and see. That you might come and see the Savior, who is Christ the Lord, who gives up everything for you. Everything. He leaves nothing on the table. And it is the zeal of the Lord of hosts who accomplishes this. And how do we know that he accomplishes it? Because Christ didn't just die on the cross. He is risen. He is risen. And he says, come unto me. Come unto me. I have what you need. And so God leads us to Bethlehem, the house of bread, to find the bread of life, not to find Christmas goodies or Christmas dinner. To find the bread of life, the life-giving bread, wherein eternal life is given to all who lean their all on Jesus. And so we must respond. You must respond. I must respond. What does it sound like to respond to this message tonight? It sounds like this. I see the one who has come. I feel the resistance of my own heart turning him away. I behold, he has given up all for me. Even me. I acknowledge my blindness and I embrace his kindness. And I embrace him, the bread of life, born in the house of bread to fill me to the full, so that I might have fullness of joy, all of my sins forgiven, fullness of peace with God and within, and fullness of wonder, giving all praise, honor, and worship to Christ the Lord. Christ the Savior is born. Amen. Let us pray together. Our gracious Father in heaven, we ask now that you would open our eyes to behold your amazing and extraordinary kindness in sending your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to be our Savior. We know, O God, that we are the sheep who have gone astray. We are the ones who have closed our doors. We are the ones who have gone our own way and have not had time for you. But we, having heard your word and heard heaven's chorus, we come and see. And we ask that you, Lord, would take away the scales from our eyes, that you would burden our hearts with our need of the bread of life. For he is the one who alone can satisfy forever. And how we thank you, Lord Jesus, that you stoop so low to raise sinners so high. We don't deserve it. But we come and we trust you again. And so, O God, for those who have trusted already in the Lord Jesus Christ, I pray that you would strengthen their faith and you would draw them even closer. And if there are ones here tonight who have never put their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, work right now by your Holy Spirit to convince their hearts of their need of the Lord Jesus, to compel them to come to the Lord Jesus. Grant them faith and repentance to believe and to be embraced by the Savior. Please, Lord, hear our prayer tonight. We ask all these things with joy in Jesus' name. Amen.